Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Russell Blaylock, who's retired that neurosurgeon that I've known for many years. But, of course, he today is certainly one of the world's leading experts on alternative medicine and certainly treatments that are certainly not typical and yet very, very effective in the treatment of disease. And, of course, there's so much, really, that you have to learn about how to look after your own health. If you have not yet read Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, you really need to get it. It's a classic. My wife has read it through and keeps it there on a shelf. It's sort of like an encyclopedia, but on any specific subject, you'll learn everything you have to know. We carry several other books by Dr. Blaylock, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. We carry his book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. We have a four-tape set, Life-Saving Secrets. We have a CD he's done on autism. We carry his DVD entitled, it has to do with nutrition. Nutrition and behavior, that's right. Well, anyway, Russell, thanks very much for being with us this evening. Are you there, Russell?
Yes, can you hear me?
I certainly can. Well, I didn't have a button turned on, but we're all set and ready to go now. So what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, I was going to talk about the rise of molecular biology.
All right, fine. Sounds like a great subject. You pick up the story.
Well, it's not as dry as it may sound to some of your listeners. Basically, it's the story of how we came to have molecular biology in the United States. What is its real objective, and how did we get what we call orthodox medicine? You know, there's this ongoing stress between alternative medicine and what's called orthodox medicine, and so I began to do some research and trying to find out, well, how did we arrive at what's called orthodox medicine? Where did it come from? Well, I stumbled across a book by a historian, and she's a science historian from MIT named Lily Kay, and she wrote a book called The Molecular Vision of Life, Caltech, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Rise of the New Biology.
And I'm sure when you saw the Rockefeller Foundation there, that really piqued your interest.
Yes, it did, because I thought, well, this is something that we sort of knew in the background, that the Rockefellers had a great interest in medical education and the health sciences, but I didn't know the complexity of it. Well, a couple of books, her book and another book written in 1952 by Emanuel Josephson called Rockefeller Internationalist, those two books really crystallized how we had arrived at this concept of orthodox medicine. And basically, you know, as you know, the history of the Rockefeller family back in the 1800s when they were forming Standard Oil, it had a very bad reputation. They were involved in a lot of dirty deeds that became public knowledge, and people really looked down on the family. It was sort of a shameful thing to have the Rockefeller name.
Well, they were the robber barons. They were involved with union breaking and really the frank murders carried out by some of their people to, you know, protect their copper mines and their oil fields and all of these things. But, of course, these things are never mentioned in contemporary books today because the Rockefellers interlock with the people who control publishing pretty well. But you pick up the story.
Well, as the reputation was getting so bad, he had a friend named Reverend Frederick Gates, and he told Rockefeller, he said, well, you know, I...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Russell, go right ahead.
He told him, he said, well, you know, there's this, a case I know of a man who had similar problems. He had a very bad reputation because of his financial dealings, and everyone hated him, and so he just gave up business and started giving away money, and suddenly everybody forgot all the evil things he did, and they loved him because of all the good things he was doing with his money. And so Gates had this idea, says, what we need to do is form philanthropic institutions where we take some of your money and we do things that will improve your image before the public. And so he hit upon the idea. He said the good idea would be a Rockefeller Institute of Medical Research, which was formed in 1901. And basically what he did, he said, what we'll do is, if you look at the medical education in the United States, it's sort of haphazard. They're teaching things like diet is good and different types of herbs and stuff are good in these medical schools. He said, I want to clean all that out. And we'll use the Rockefeller Institute of Medical Research to totally rewrite how medicine is going to be taught in the United States. And so through his General Education Board, which was the early Rockefeller Foundation, and the idea of the General Education Board was his dream was to control all education in the United States. He would set the curriculum, what students would learn at every level all the way through the college and university. And so this General Education Board was beginning to gain in power in the education realm. And so that he hired a person to look into it, and one of the people who worked for him was Abraham Flexner. And Flexner in 1903, through the Education Board, worked with the Carnegie Foundation. Now, people need to understand that actually the Carnegie Foundation was taken over by the Rockefeller Foundation. In fact, David Rockefeller even served on the board of the Carnegie Foundation. So he was controlling the Rockefeller Foundation. They launched this study of medical education in the United States. Well, they had some 165 medical schools in the United States. And what Flexner did after his study, which we call the medical education in the United States, he said, most of these schools need to be closed. So they closed 50% of the medical schools in the United States. The rest of them were receiving funding from the Rockefeller Institute of Medical Research. And so he appointed the professors. He set the curriculum. This was a very hands-on thing.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to bring the rest of our short stations right back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and he's just saying that the Rockefellers certainly in the 19th century had a terrible reputation because, of course, of their unscrupulous dealings. Of course, this is old John D. Rockefeller, who, of course, had tremendous wealth, which he accumulated in banking and in oil and certainly in the copper mines. But also there was a tremendous antagonism towards them. They were part of the robber baron class at that time, and they decided they would try to change their image by giving away money and setting up, of course, the precursor to the Rockefeller Foundation. And then they basically decided they were going to take over medical education, and they were going to supervise medical education. They were going to change the thrust of medical education, close down a lot of schools that medical schools that wouldn't go along with their agenda, and transform medical education from what it had been, based upon, of course, the knowledge of the past and diet and the other things that doctors were doing, towards this idea of molecular medicines. You pick the story up there, Russell.
Right, and so working with the American Medical Association at the time, Abraham Flexner through the Carnegie Foundation and indirectly through the Rockefeller Foundation, which was the main impetus, he redesigned medical education. Now, the way that he did this, he poured his money into selected universities. And he selected things like University of Chicago, which he had created, Yale, Harvard, Caltech. These were his primary schools, and he pumped a lot of money into them. He appointed the academic professors from people who was connected with his foundation so that he had this hands-on control at all times. Well, what people don't know about this is that Rockefeller also had controlling interests or owned most of the major pharmaceutical companies in the United States at the time, and one of which was the IG Farben company. Now, IG Farben not only was a chemical company, and people may remember that this was the one that made the gas that was used on the Jewish prisoners during the Holocaust. IG Farben also owned Parker Davis, Bayer, Whitehall Laboratories, Bristol Myers, Squibb, and Rockefeller also owned Merck, or had controlling interest in Merck Pharmaceuticals, laterally. So he controlled most of the major pharmaceutical companies in the United States and also in Europe. And what he was doing is by controlling medical education and designing it so that all treatments were pharmaceutical, or the major treatments were pharmaceutical, then the doctors that were trained in these universities, medical universities, in their practices would start ordering drugs and writing prescriptions for drugs from companies that he owned or controlled. Now, this was, in fact, written up in a popular magazine back then by a microbiologist named Hans Zinsser. Now, I was very interested in microbiology, so Hans Zinsser to me was, and most people, was the leading microbiologist in the world. In fact, my textbook was written by Hans Zinsser. Well, he exposed this Rockefeller scheme to change medical education for pharmaceutical drugs so that he could make more money by directing physicians to write prescriptions. Now, he also controlled almost every parameter of the physician's life, in that he created the licensing idea, how they would be licensed, how the states would control them, and all the academies, so that the academians were teaching ideas that he wanted them to instill in these medical students and trained physicians. Now, it also goes to the fact, as Dr. Lilly shows, Dr. Kay shows in her book about molecular biology, then also Rockefeller Foundation was one of the major foundations funding eugenics in the United States in the period of 1900 through the 1950s and 60s. He did this mainly through not only his foundation, but through the Carnegie Foundation, because he had the controlling interest and was on the board of the Carnegie Foundation and controlled what they were funding. He also controlled numerous other foundations. They were all interlocked through the Rockefeller Foundation. And basically what he did is, because of this growth of eugenics, and there's a fantastic book people should read on this called War Against the Weak by Edwin Black, which is a fascinating book, but it shows that eugenics in that period, we're talking about a period around 1910, 1920, had just absolutely gripped all of the United States. They were getting major legislation passed in states to allow eugenic destruction of people and birth control and incarceration. They had labor camps set up where people would be incarcerated if they had epilepsy, if they had chronic disease, if they were diagnosed as feeble-minded, which could mean anything. Didn't necessarily mean that you had low IQ. If you were a criminal, if you had a criminal record, you were sterilized. In fact, in the state of California, during that time, in order to be released from prison, you were subject to, if you males, castration, and females, sterilization. Anybody who was released from a mental institute was automatically sterilized. The state of California, during a period up to about 1930, had some 14,000 people sterilized. Some 38,000 were sterilized nationwide. It was just all the academians and the major institutions of learning were teaching eugenics and mass sterilization with the idea of creating a new man. Well, who came out with this new science of man but the Rockefeller Foundation and the Rockefellers? In 1920, he created this concept of the new science of man, which was social control. He was obsessed with the idea that the elite should control all of society, engineer people through breeding, proper breeding, to create a super race. And this goes into great detail, many examples in this book on War Against the Weak.
Well, of course, a lot of these ideas were picked up on the Nazis and utilized in the Nazi concentration camps. And, of course, eugenics got a terrible name after that. My goodness, those terrible things. So they changed the name of that. They began to call it population control rather than eugenics. But go right ahead. After the Second World War, you seldom heard these people talking on eugenics. It was all population control, but it's all part and parcel of the same movement.
Well, actually, what happened, you see, this is where molecular biology comes in. Once the Nazi experience happened, and as you say, it's proven now that Hitler got most of his ideas from the German eugenists, which were in the 1800s and early 1900s, and primarily the American eugenists, who had an extensive literature, an extensive experience, more than anywhere else in the world. Was the United States' obsession was destroying people who they felt like were psychologically, socially, and culturally unfit, what they even referred to as the scum of the earth. They referred to them as bacteria that need to be destroyed. So this idea that Hitler picked up came from this extensive literature in Germany and particularly in the United States long before he came to power. Well, once Rockefeller and the other eugenists realized, well, this was really hurting the eugenics movement in the United States, what the Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, and later Ford Foundation did, they put out instructions to sanitize all of their pamphlets and literature because they were flooding all the institutions all the way from high schools and colleges, universities, state institutions, public health institutions, with lots of literature supporting eugenics in the same terms, using the same terms that Adolf Hitler was using, in fact. And so he said, well, let's sanitize all of that, remove that, and we'll talk about more of science of man, molecular biology. And they created one of his professors that he had appointed at Caltech, coined the term molecular medicine, in which he was going to redesign this eugenics idea and say, well, what we'll do is use this molecular medicine to study what makes people not like us, in other words, the elite, and then we can fix it, or we can find ways to get rid of these people. And, of course, that was, it coined another term, socialization. And so what she says in this book was that this was a slower program than was human breeding and a sterilization program, but it was more scientific, and that by studying genes and studying heredity and studying the molecular biology of the cell, they could directly redesign man. And there were extensive writings about taking over evolution of man and advancing the evolution of man. They even talked about creating it as a religion. They said we need to replace the Judeo-Christian religion with this new religion of this eugenics idea. So it was this transference to the idea of molecular biology. Well, the main focus of his molecular biology was Caltech. And the professors there were teaching the principles of social engineering, human engineering, and this pushing of evolution towards making this new man, and that's basically where eugenics was moving into this new field of genetics. And in fact, it was a eugenist who coined the term genetics. His name was Bateman, and he had coined the term genetics and changed all the different names from the American Breeders Association to the American Genetics Association, and the Journal of Heredity was the new name of their journal rather than the Breeders Journal.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Russell.
So what he did is he really fine-tune this at Caltech. Then he began to push it into...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
And magazines and in journals and in newspapers. And if they pulled the advertising from the magazine or journal, why, of course, it did not have income. And that's what they did. You wrote an article that was critical of the Rockefeller family or their escapades. Suddenly, all of your advertising disappeared. And we've known that this is how they manipulate so many things. They don't have to own all the papers and magazines. They just let them know very uncertain terms. You publish an article that tells the truth about us, and you are through, because without advertising, you can't survive. And this has gone on really ever since. Of course, they have their people. They own many of the major publications or interlock with the people who own the publications. But it's the advertising that's the key. And this is why, for instance, on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNBC, you'll never hear a long, extended discussion of the Rockefeller Foundation and, of course, their effort to control our society, or condemnation of the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller or the Carnegie Foundation. Why? Because they all interlock, they all have an agenda, and it all has to do with social control. Controlling the very future of mankind. So pick up the story there, Russell.
And a lot of this control, you know, he first watched what J.P. Morgan did. And if you know your history of these great money families, the Rockefellers and the Morgans hated each other. Well, Morgan tried to literally buy up all the major newspapers in the United States. Well, Rockefeller outsmarted him. He bought up the advertising in the magazines and newspapers, and so he ended up actually winning that war for the media. They also pumped a lot of money into Hollywood. The Rockefellers and the Carnegies and the Morgans literally owned Hollywood, so a lot of the movie productions carried their storyline of human control and social control and unfit populations that need to be sterilized during the period of eugenics. Just to give you an idea of what was being proposed way back in 1915, he had one of his eventual presidents of the Rockefeller Foundation by the name of Raymond Fosdick. And this is a quote from Raymond Fosdick. He said, "We see the abyss upon the edge of which the race is standing. We see the inevitable doom that lies ahead. Unless we can achieve a measure of social control far greater than any which we have hereto exercised." So, you know, this is a declaration that we need absolute control of all the media, all the education in America so that our program can be carried forward. And she says in the book, the thing that changed after the Hitler experience was they saw that now there was an urgency. We have to really get this program growing with great speed. And she has a quote on the power that was exercised. She said, "Their numerous projects and unprecedented scope of their financial and institutional resources shaped the development of culture and the production of knowledge in the United States. Through education, public opinion, stimulation of specific research agenda, and the promotion of selective categories of knowledge and research, the foundation played a key role in the creation of a hegemonic bloc. The resources and prestige flowing into these fields relevant to the problems of social control were instrumental in the formation of the consensus between social and political elites on one hand and academic interests on the other." So, you know, what she constantly emphasizes in here is that the Rockefeller Foundation and the Rockefellers themselves literally control all medical education, and they eventually control not only the appointment of people in academic positions in the basic sciences, but they wrote most of the agenda. In other words, what would be studied, how it would be studied. She says they were very meticulous in their hands-on control. They didn't just hand out money. And in the book by Josephine, he makes the point, he said, many times what Rockefeller did, he wouldn't give endowments. What he did is he funded them each year. That way he had hands-on control because they knew that he could pull the funding at any time, whereas an endowment is just money given. So his conniving to have absolute control of this process, this educational process, was absolute. And by using the media, eventually he avoided the problem he had during the period of eugenics back in 1910 and 20.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock. We're talking about this effort to control the minds of the people, to control their attitudes, to control their outlook, to control their very thought process, and how carefully this whole thing was, of course, orchestrated, and, of course, ultimately the control over the teaching of medicine and then ultimately over the practice of medicine. So pick up the story there, Russell.
The extent of this control is just cannot be grasped by most people. It just seems too fantastic. But as you read the mechanics of it, how he went about this in a very meticulous, very ordered way, making sure he had covered all bases. He controlled the media. He controlled Hollywood. He controlled the institutions of learning. Down to the grammar schools. So he had everything that in any way could interfere with his program covered. Well, then the last bastion was, of course, the politics. And the John D. Rockefeller Sr. had been burned by the government, you know, when he first tried to found the Rockefeller Foundation. Congress turned it down. And they said, it's obvious you're using this foundation for nefarious purposes. And so they turned him down. Well, then he used his friend, Senator Aldrich, who was the guy who also engineered the Federal Reserve. He used him to get the Rockefeller Foundation finally approved by Congress. Well, he never wanted this to happen again. So he had the idea, we've got to control government. And so eventually what he did is he formed the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission was his two big United States institutions to control the federal government. And what they were a think tank-like organization, and they were used by the government as experts, so that when they had a problem, for instance, with China, the Rockefeller Foundation, through the Council on Foreign Relations or one of its subsidiaries, could supply experts on China, and that's what they did with the Institute of Pacific Relations, is why China was handed over to the communists, because the Institute of Pacific Relations was a communist front controlled by the Rockefeller Foundation. And that's also how Stalin got the atomic bomb, was through the Institute of Pacific Relations, which was even the building was owned by the Rockefeller Foundation.
Hold that thought, we'll be right. Hold that thought, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Russell is just talking about how they were able to control our society, and we're talking about during the early years of the 20th century. Now, certainly, if you have any question what the great tax-exempt foundations are doing, we carry a book called Foundations, The Power and Influence, written in 1954 by Reddy Wormser, who was the counsel for the only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate what the great tax-exempt foundations were doing. And back in 1954, 53, and 54, they found the great tax-exempt foundations were funding communism and socialism and internationalism, doing everything they could to destroy the love which every American should have for his way of life and for his country. In fact, that's the exact statement made by Congressman B. Carroll Reese, who headed that commission. Of course, they were funding Dr. Kinsey's research because they wanted to destroy the moral fabric of our society, to create a fixation on sex and immorality and the defense of prostitution and certainly a defense of pedophilia. We have people who have a totally, totally different outlook on the world. And the book is available through our ministry. We've kept it in print for many years. But Russell is just talking about how the Rockefeller Foundation, working with the Carnegie and Ford Foundation, set out to dominate research in America and to learn how to control the people. It was all about control, control of the individual, controlling their thought process. If you try to talk to people, so many people today, and you try to tell them what's going on, that we have unelected rulers, a small group of very wealthy people who are moving us away from our Constitution, away from our freedom, into this one world government, the destruction of Christianity, a new world economic system, most people will look at you blankly. because their minds are controlled. And I know from personal experience, some 46 years ago when I started to understand what was going on, how difficult it was for me to give up all the ideas that I had learned in college, and I'd been well rewarded for learning them and I'd gotten through medical school. But so many of the things I believed just were not true. And that is true for so many people today. But it is all a direct byproduct of this control exerted by these people who were studying how you control behavior and the reality of the American people. Would that be a fair appraisal, Russell?
Well, absolutely.
And okay, go right ahead.
So much of this money was focused on human personality control. You know, this is what she makes the point of in this book on the history of molecular biology, is that the money was not being funded toward human disease and toward medical schools primarily. The funding was towards ways to use mind science, the science of the mind, psychology, sociology, psychobiology, and even the field of neuroscience was created out of this, with the idea of how to control human thinking. I'll quote again from a National Education Association, was another organization created by the Rockefeller Foundation. In a publication they published in called Education in the 70s, it stated, "Schools will become clinics whose purpose is to provide individualized psychosocial treatments for the students, and the teachers must become psychosocial therapists. This will include biochemical and psychological mediation of learning. As drugs are introduced experimentally to improve the learner, such qualities as personality, concentration, and memory. Children are to become objects of experimentation." So we see in their literature that they're teaching the teacher, your job is to change the thinking of students. Now you might think, well, that could be harmless in that, yes, we want students to behave and students to be good citizens. But when you start looking at what they were training to do, it wasn't. It was, number one, to destroy the Christian idea. You know, they constantly were pushing the idea there's no God, that science is the new God, and that only man's application of science is going to save man and solve the problems of the world. You can't depend on spirituality and on prayer and believing that there's such a thing as a God. So, you know, it's a very nefarious movement away from the idea of man as a creation of God to man as his own God. And this is what the science of man basically was, that we're going to take over evolution and we're going to move man and create this super being. And this is in a lot of their literature. You think I'm just maybe overemphasizing this or reading something into it that's not there. But if you read their literature, some of the quotes from these early papers, they say this openly. And, you know, as some of these other studies have shown, this is also an interesting quote to show you who's doing these things. It says, "The racial purity and supremacy doctrines embraced by American pioneer eugenists are not ramblings of ignorant, unsophisticated men. They were the carefully considered ideas of some of the nation's most respected and educated figures, each an expert in his scientific or cultural field, each revered for his erudition." So these were some of the top minds in the country who believed these things and were pushing them. For instance, Linus Pauling, a lot of people have heard of Linus Pauling. He was a great chemist. He was basically, he was a physical chemist. But Linus Pauling was obsessed with eugenics and the idea of social control as well. And he moved into the field of actually psychobiology. He wanted to find ways to control human thinking. And in this book on the history of molecular biology, she said he was heavily funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, gave him over $1 million a year for his laboratory and his work at Caltech. And he said, this is a direct quote from Linus Pauling. He said, "There should be a tattoo on the forehead of every young person, a symbol showing possession of a sickle cell gene or whatever similar gene. It is my opinion that legislation along this line, compulsory testing for defective genes before marriage, and some form of semi-public display of this possession should be adopted. She refers to this as the Yellow Star program, which, you know, in Germany they made the Jews wear a yellow star to indicate that they were marked and they were Jews. Well, that's basically what this high-ranking scientist who won two Nobel Prizes was saying, that people that have defective genes or that I consider unfit for life in the United States should be tattooed so everyone can see that they're a danger to society. And they emphasize this, that society's in danger from these people. And they said not to kill these people or prevent their birth is the highest of crime, equal to murder.
And you know, Russell, I remember in my medical school hearing one of my professors talking about how people with juvenile diabetes certainly should be should not reproduce, they should not have children, because many times it was considered this was a genetic tendency, and so you know, we should have some means of preventing diabetics. I don't know if he was talking about both adult and juvenile or just juvenile, but some method of preventing diabetics from reproducing and having children. And now, of course, we know that a lot of diabetes is not genetic necessarily, but you go right ahead with the story.
Well, that was the thing that was so impressive, particularly in the book War Against the Weak, is as you look at the programs that were being advanced by these high academic centers, they weren't targeting people that were had hereditary diseases of mental capacity, you know, what we call idiocy and lunacy. They were targeting people who they considered just ne'er-do-well, people who were unmotivated in life, who were just satisfied to own a small farm and not seek higher education. They were considered unfit for life. And there's examples of people who were forcibly placed in what was a special camp and spent their entire life there and died in it and were forcibly sterilized. So that they couldn't reproduce. One case, they declared a young girl unfit and feeble-minded, even though she did well in school, and she had a child, a small baby, and when the baby was 2 months old, they declared it feeble-minded, and later the child won honors in school, but the mother was forcibly sterilized. So, you know, as you're making the point, it gets further and further, oh, it's not just severe lunacy or idiocy. Now we're moving into diabetes, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, people with depression, people with anxiety, people with panic attacks, people who are just socially not very likable, people who won't go along with government programs, people who are so deranged they believe that there's a God in heaven. So, you know, the criteria begins to change as these people gain more and more power. She also shows that Rockefeller decided around the 1950s he wanted to go more international with this, and so he turned most of the domestic program over to the Ford Foundation, which he controlled. So, you know, he had access virtually monies from all the major foundations, which was equal to hundreds of billions of dollars in today's dollars. Well, it went even further than that because, as you read in the book Foundations of Power and Influence, he also controlled virtually all of the government through the Council on Foreign Relations Trilateral Commission and through having the foundations be the advisors for all government programs. So if the government develops a program, say, on Social Security or some other social program, it was the Rockefeller Foundation or one of the other interlocking foundations that supplied the experts that told them what to do. And so they actually were controlling government programs and therefore had access to all of the money from the taxpayers as well as the money that could be created by the Federal Reserve. So essentially they control all the money in the world now because of their international interlocking through international banking. They can control and direct the funds of virtually the entire world is at their access. And as they emphasize, no one knows how much money the Rockefellers have. It's so extensive, it's unmeasurable. It's far beyond trillions of dollars in terms of their influence of all the thousands of corporations that they control, of schools and universities and medical schools and banking. And you know, it just goes on and on and on. But getting into the idea of exactly how do these foundations work, well, it's not only the foundation itself, but they have what they call clearinghouse organizations. And these are organizations beneath the foundation that are funded by the foundation. For instance, there's one called the Social Sciences Research Council, which is one of the most powerful in controlling virtually all social sciences studies in the world, not just the United States, but the world, which is totally controlled by the Rockefeller Foundation. They do most of the control of academic appointments in the major universities like Harvard and Yale and Columbia and University of Chicago, Duke University. So anything that is written about social sciences, they have control of what would be said, how the programs would be designed, what students will learn, what graduate students will learn, and what professors will learn, and so that when these professors leave and go to another university anywhere in the world, they're carrying the Rockefeller message and the ways of thinking. For instance, they have all kinds of clearinghouses like the American Council of Learned Societies, the National Academy of Sciences, the National Education Association, National Research Council, League for Industrial Democracy. All of these are funded, controlled, and created by this Rockefeller Nexus. When you look at the clearinghouses underneath the clearinghouses, so they have committees of committees. For instance, the Social Sciences Research Council has 16 different foundations funding them. Like the Laura Spelman Rockefeller Memorial, Russell Sage Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, Commonwealth Fund, General Education Board, which is another Rockefeller Foundation, Ford Foundation, 20th Century Fund, Rockefeller Brothers Fund. So they have massive amounts of money at their disposal in which to buy newspaper ads, buy magazines, fund writers, fund book publishers, and they essentially took over all the publishing companies as well. Well, the interesting thing to me as I read through all of this and see how all of this interlocks, how they control what books are chosen for the bestsellers, and what books are allowed to be in the bookstores. It was interesting because, as I told you some time ago, I read the book by Abby Burrell on the history of Illuminati.
Because that was written back in the late 1790s, wasn't it?
1790s.
Right.
And he examined the papers of Westhoff. He did this extensive study of the Westhoff papers on how the Illuminati was formed. Well, the Illuminati design is exactly what Rockefeller has used, down to the letter. I mean, almost everything that you see in the world today was described by Westhoff in the Illuminati papers. How to take over publications, how to take over newspapers, and how to control universities, how to make universities appoint the people you want them to appoint, how to create the different levels of knowledge of the organization that's controlling. For instance, in the center are the people that know everything, and then on the periphery the people who have no idea that they're being controlled. But everything they do is regulated and controlled, but they just don't know it. They think they're independent. They think these thoughts are their own thoughts. They think they even agree with it because they've been so heavily inundated with this information from the people in the center that they don't know it. For instance, when you look at the New York Times bestseller list, people run to buy these books because that's what you're supposed to read. And you're not socially up to par if you haven't read what's on the New York Times bestseller list. Well, who created that? Well, that's described in the Illuminati papers. He created that idea. He created book clubs, what he called them, and you go around all over Europe, and you had to read these books, and of course it was his writers. Well, how did he make his writers end up on the top? Well, again, it's the same method Rockefeller Foundation uses, and that by funding the academians that they appoint, it gives them free time to do a lot of writing where their usual professor has teaching duties. So he doesn't have the time to write. And also, since they own the publishing houses, their books are accepted and the opponent's books are rejected and they get bad reviews.
Well, I think it's important that people understand that there is a control mechanism behind the scenes, ties into the Rockefellers. But what most people don't understand is the Rockefellers can tie into the occult. And you go into the background, of course, of the Rockefeller family, you'll find actually very strong ties to the occult. Lawrence Rockefeller publishing Barbara Marx Hubbard's, his endowment of publishing Barbara Marx Hubbard's work. Stephen Rockefeller writing the Earth Charter along with two occultists. And, well, we're out of time. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Well, Russell, that's fascinating material that you put together. We've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. I'm sure we could go on for another couple of hours, and maybe we can sometime, but right now we'll just...
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And get to the DVDs and books, and Stan carries the DVDs. Best you get that through Stan, particularly nutrition and behavior, which ties into a lot of what we're talking about. But yes, that's the www.russellblaylockmd.com.
And if they want to get your monthly newsletter on health issues, how can they get that?
They can get it through the website as well.
Now, one more time, the website?
It's RussellBlaylockMD.com. BlaylockMD.com.
Good night, Russell. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
All right, fine. Well, that was really a great interview, as always, with Dr. Blaylock. The nice thing is I don't have to do much of anything. We do carry the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. It's one of the five most important books in my library. If you want to know what they're doing, we have a DVD called Operation Monarch. Goes into the CIA mind control, and ladies and gentlemen, they're controlling your mind almost all the time when you're watching television. They control the television, they control what you see, and things that you're not supposed to see, why you will never see on television here in the United States, or almost never. We have a book called The CIA Doctors by Colin Ross, who's worked with a lot of the victims of CIA mind control. We actually have on the four-tape set on Operation Paperclip, the Nazi scientists who came to America to carry on these macabre experiments. That's the four-tape set. We have a four-tape set on mind control. Of course, we have certainly a book, if you want to know about the Illuminati, a book written by the Librarian of Congress called Fire in the Minds of Men. Goes into the background of the secret societies. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret societies out there, but you're not supposed to know about that. But here's a book written not by a conservative, a right-wing wacko nut. It's written by the Librarian of Congress, going into the secret societies that incited the world revolution, which continues to this day. We also have my talk. It's called The World Revolution. It's available on DVD. There you'll hear my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba, a multi-billionaire who tells you how the American State Department and the CIA brought Fidel Castro to power. Brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing full well he was a lifelong dedicated communist. But these are the things you're not supposed to know about, and there's so much more. But we do hope you want to get this material now to understand what's really energizing, whether it's the Rockefellers or Weishaupt, or there has been, down through the ages, secret societies, and there's been a tie into the occult and the supernatural. And certainly you'll want to hear my talk or get our book on the Brotherhood of Darkness. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, you want to get my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. You want to get the talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. And certainly you'll want to get, and we'll send you free of charge if you get into the other items, something entirely put out by the Luciferian organization, the Lucius Trust. It's called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. The working of the spiritual hierarchy, and they will tell you how they have their people planted in every level of society. This is what they say, not what I say. But I'm sure it's true because I read their publications, and they will tell you how they have created this current economic crisis as a vehicle for bringing about what they refer to as the plan, which of course is the one world government that is planned. And if you don't believe there is a plan, you need to read Henry Kissinger's recent article. Henry Kissinger is a member of David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations. Henry Kissinger, one of the leading spokesmen for the occult in America, in my estimation, because he is involved in this, but they can't let you know that. Nobody's going to talk about the relationship between the Rockefellers and Kissinger and Zygmunt Brzezinski and the occult, Robert McNamara. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Melody Cederstrom from Discount Gold and Silver, who supports Radio Liberty, and we certainly put L. Melody on because we enjoy having her with us on a regular basis. And certainly, if you are looking at what's going on in the world today, why, everybody knows there is a terrible crisis unfolding. The Saturday-Sunday edition of the Wall Street Journal for this last weekend talks about how the Dow Jones Industrial Average on Friday was up a little bit, but, of course, for the week, things didn't look good. Bank of America dropped 14% on Friday. Sydney Citigroup fell 8.6%. J.P. Morgan Chase slid 6.2%. And then, of course, we find that so many of the other of the stocks are down. The Standard & Poor's 500 stock index certainly was doing poorly. That Barclays slid 14%. Royal Bank of Scotland Group was off 10%. The British banks are having very, very real problems, as the American banks. Yes, it's all doom and gloom, ladies and gentlemen. And remember what, of course, it was written by Edward Bernays back in 1920 in his book on propaganda, and he simply said that the organized and coordinated manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society, and those who control this mechanism society are our true invisible rulers. We are governed, our ideas are formed, our ideas shaped, our concepts created largely by men we have never heard of. And what they're doing is creating a deflationary psychology, a psychology of fear. And once you understand that, why, of course, you'll be able, of course, to think and think effectively, understand you are being manipulated. Yes, things are bad, but there has never been a major recession in the United States. It was not created by the financial elite who actually control our monetary system, our banks. And first of all, they make lending very easy. You can easily borrow money. They lower the interest rates. There's lots of money out there. And the times are good when they create artificial money through the fiat money system. And then comes the day of reckoning when they begin to withdraw money from the system, when they begin to raise the interest rates, when they're beginning to make it almost impossible to get a loan. And then they call in their loans, and then people can't afford their businesses, they can't afford their homes, and they lose their homes, and you start a cascade of suffering. And they've played this game over and over and over, and they're doing it today. And all of the recessions and depressions America's had since its inception have been created by the banking industry, most of which works in concert with European banks, and they're doing the same thing today. And when you understand that, well, you can understand what's going on today, and you will not let them frighten you. You can think and think effectively. Understand that you do not need to be manipulated by the people who control the media, and the media is controlled by the people interlocking to what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, which is the Trilateral Commission, the Great Tax-Exempt Foundations, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Group of 30. But, of course, they have a network all across the world dedicated to the establishment of a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world currency, the destruction of Christianity and the imposition of the world leader. That, of course, was the quest of the ancient mystery religions and the Illuminati and the Templars. And that is the quest of the Brotherhood of Darkness today. And we'll be back in just a moment with Melody Cederstrom as we talk about what's going on in our country today. Well, Melody, how are you doing this evening?
Well, just fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you for asking.
Well, tell us a little bit about, of course, your take on what's going on.
Well, you said it exactly. Very good opening, and it is a plan that has been going on for a very long time, and it is human nature. It's very easy for people to be conditioned over a period of time, and, of course, it is their desire to obtain the wealth, to strip the people of their wealth, because once you are stripped of that wealth, your choices remain very few. I mean, basically, you have no choices anymore. You do become a slave to them. And again, this is a long time conditioning, and as you said, it has happened time and time again, and this has been going on for a long time in this country. And you're right, you cannot fear these people. But if you do what is necessary and prepare for a lot of the things that I believe we will see here in the near future, there's no need to be frightened of them. And lots of times my customers will talk to me and they're concerned about being tracked, being traced, the papers, the contracts which they make when they're purchasing gold and silver. And many times they want to keep all their banking to certain numbers and so forth, and they go through considerable amounts of time and energy to stay under the radar, so to speak. And to me, I believe that is fear, and I do believe we do have to fear these people, but we shouldn't allow them to dictate to us as we prepare and as we gather our needs that we're going to use in the very near future. So you can remain separate from them, and you can, by obtaining your food and your water and your weapons and your ammunition and, of course, your gold and silver, you can remain independent from the system, and that is what is important. And I just don't understand anymore. We've seen how Wall Street has, you know, they have financed the destruction of this country, and it behooves me to believe that people continue to give their funds to Wall Street for the further destruction of this country. And because people ask me all the time, do you have paper investments? Do you own stocks? It's like, no, I don't. I don't believe in the paper, and I don't believe in giving my funds to the system that has destroyed this country and so many good people of this country.
I agree with you totally, Melody. And of course, the thing is that the stock market in the year 2008 is down about 40%. And not only did the people lose their money in their stock accounts, but in their pension accounts as well. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Melody Cedarstrom. And just Melody was simply talking about the fact that we do not have to be frightened. What we need to do is understand what's going on, to prepare for it. It is going to be a very difficult time. Certainly, they dropped the stock market about 40% this last year. So if you had money in the stock market, in all probability, you lost. Even Warren Buffett lost a lot of money last year. Certainly, the Harvard endowment, you know, at $280 billion, something like that, they lost 30%. The California Public Utilities employees, you know, pension fund lost about 30%. And, of course, they were better off than the average stock market, which lost 40%. But some people have lost 50 or 60%. Some people have lost 80 or 90% of their wealth during this last year. You're going to have to, of course, not play their game, not be in their stock market. And you cannot keep your money in paper money. Of course, everybody's thinking, well, I'm going to put my money in bonds, in treasury bonds. They're really safe. But, of course, are treasury bonds really safe, Melody?
I don't believe they are. I mean, look at this country. You know, it's really a sad day when our whole existence depends on a communist country. China has overtaken the lead of Japan in purchasing our debt, and we are beholden to them. I mean, they truly do get to pretty much ride our waves, and I believe it was in Robert Chapman's newsletter, and I thought also that I believe the drop in these commodities was a big part of maybe some sort of an agreement with China. They get to buy. They're restoring all their commodities. They're going in. They're buying all sorts of hard commodities and with the oil prices being low like this, and if they continue to purchase our debt, because our negotiations are with them anymore, because they are the ones that are they're continuing to buy what we need.
And,
of
course,
the thing is,
we are totally subject to the Chinese communists.
Yes.
Without their buying our debt, our whole debt structure would collapse. Now, why are they buying it? Why? Because there are secret deals working behind the scenes, and I believe powerful spiritual forces motivate our leaders to work with their leaders. Why would we trust them? Well, of course, because I believe that they are all directed by occult forces. But right now there is a plan. It's a plan to transfer America's manufacturing and wealth to communist China and to India and to Brazil and Russia. And they've been doing that for some time and building up the reserves of those countries with the idea that they will buy our debt and then we can use their products. We will no longer be an industrialized nation. That's what the global warming scan is about, to destroy the industrial base of this nation. There are people at the highest levels of our government, and they are being all brought in by Mr. Obama, because these are the people who were with the Clinton administration, and many of them were with the Bush administration, but they're not going to tell you that. And the change that's going to come about after tomorrow's inauguration is not going to be a change for the better, but for the worse. And unfortunately, they're going to destroy the economic foundation of this country. That is the idea. And, Melody, have you read that wonderful article that Henry Kissinger wrote to the International Herald Tribune within the last week, where he really laid out what the invisible government's plan is, what the Brotherhood of Darkness's plan is for the world?
No, I did not see that. I believe Bob mentioned it, but I did not read it, no.
Basically, it's a wonderful article, and anybody out there can certainly Google it in on the computer. You simply Google in Henry Kissinger. International Herald Tribune, which is, of course, the international paper of the New York Times, and then New World Order or New World Economic Order, and you'll pull it up. It's, I think it was in the 12th of January, somewhere in there. And basically, he just tells you you got two choices. I mean, you're either going to go along with them and establish a new international economic order, or it's going to be fragmentation and chaos and the destruction of countries all throughout the world. Which do you want? Do you want fragmentation and chaos? Or do you want to go along and, of course, do what they want us to do, which is give up our sovereignty and establish this world government? And the very people who created the chaos, chaotic situation are giving us this ultimatum, and we better go along with them or else. And that's the inference of the article. You need to get it. You need to read it. You don't understand that they created the crisis, I believe, for just this time. And believe me, it is not simply the United States that's having problems. The whole structure of the world, there is civil unrest in Greece and in Spain and in Eastern Europe. You're not hearing about it in this country, but the whole structure of government throughout the world is beginning to crumble, even in China. And things seem to be even getting out of hand there. 100,000 businesses and factories have shut down in China as of the end of last year, the end of 2008. And there are, you know, millions of people unemployed. It said as many as 18 million factory workers are unemployed in China. But, of course, at least they have a sound industrial base and a much sounder currency than here in the United States, where our leaders have been intent upon destroying the foundation of our economic system, because I think they intend to bring chaos and crisis to America. Well, of course, what can people do to protect themselves, Melody?
Well, we mention it so often on the various programs. You do need to have your storable food and your water filters. You also need to have your protection readily available. Those things are important, and those things, I believe, should come first. Then you need to preserve your wealth. You need to preserve what you do have left, and I do truly believe that gold and silver will be the items that will maintain their value. And as we go into hyperinflation to deflation, I believe gold will preserve your wealth the best. In a deflationary period, you might see items drop significantly, and you might see even gold drop 20%, but I think 20% will be a very nice percent basis of the 80 and 90% losses that people will obtain. So gold is a true way in which to preserve your wealth, and so many countries around the world understand the value of gold and how wealth is measured against gold. Wealth has to be measured against something. And You know, everybody is in different levels. We're all in different situations. And that's what we do. We do things a little bit differently here at Discount Gold and Silver. We look to what's suitable for each person. You know, sometimes it's suitable for a person just to have silver. Sometimes it's suitable for a person just to have gold bullion coins. Sometimes it's suitable for a person to have a diversified type portfolio. But people need to understand and be educated on the various products. And there is so much misrepresentation out there on the various products out there. You know, you have melt value coins that are led to believe that they're actually non-confiscatable coins, and you have other coins that are sold supposedly at wholesale, but if you compare the prices, they're significantly higher than what the normal price is. But people don't know. People are told that they're getting charged one thing, and people don't know what the real wholesale price is. So it's very difficult purchasing gold and silver. So we try to take a different position and see what's suitable for the people and what would be best for them, because that's what it's all about, and is protecting what you have. Not try to purchase a portfolio from your neighbor up the street. We don't all fit in the same peg, so that's what we do a little bit differently. We have great prices, and we educate.
I think, Chris, it was Richard Russell, who's a long-term stock market analyst, who said recently, he who loses the least wins. Mm-hmm. He who loses the least wins. And, Chris, what he's basically saying is we're all going to be hurt as this whole infrastructure of our society, is destroyed. But, if you can preserve part of your wealth or the major part of your wealth, you're going to be way ahead, because most people are going to lose almost everything they have. The value of their stock market portfolio is down 40%. The value of their home is probably down 30 or 40%. Certainly the major store of the wealth that they have. But, of course, their pension funds, their insurance policies will be destroyed through the inflationary spiral that will come here. How soon, we don't know, but it's going to be coming. And everybody who talks about, oh, my goodness, invest in the stock market, put your savings in the bank. Why, your savings are safe in the bank. The FDIC has not lost a penny from any account in 75 years. Well, what about all the money that's been lost through inflation? What are the FDIC going to do about that? And of course, inflation has largely destroyed the value of the dollar in the last 75 years. Furthermore, if we got the whole banking system coming down, FDIC doesn't have enough money. But you don't have to worry about that, because they just go out and print more money. Because there's nothing behind the money, they just print it. But it becomes increasingly worthless the more they expand the money supply. Have you seen those ads, Melody, on television that tells you that you've got nothing to worry about with your money in the bank because, of course, the FDIC is going to guarantee it?
No, I haven't.
Well, you don't waste your time then watching television, and that's just as well. But I really have to watch the television, so I know what the people are hearing out there.
I do, too, but we don't have those. I haven't seen those advertisements.
All right, fine. Well, I guess maybe they're just targeting people here in California. Maybe we're more gullible. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, if you have a question for Melody. But we are living in the most dramatic times of certainly of my life, and I suspect of your life, and the America we have known in the past no longer exists. It's going to change and change dramatically. The American people have really been snookered. We have a new president who says he's going to bring change, but of course most of his advisors come from the Brotherhood of Darkness, the Council on Foreign Relations, certainly the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Group of 30. If you look at the State Department, appointees so far that they've made, Hillary Clinton, whose husband was a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and the Council on Foreign Relations, or Deputy James Steinberger, comes from all three. Then of the eight people underneath him, six of them come from the organizations I mentioned, and three of them from the Trilateral Commission. They're the people, of course, who control the Bush administration, and the Clinton administration, and the Reagan administration, and the Carter administration. We'll be right back. Well, Melody, you go ahead and pick up there.
Well, there certainly will be change, but not to the type of change.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
If so much money is going into the stock market, why did it drop from 14,000 down to just about 8,000 now? And why have most people lost about 40% of the money they had in the stock market during this last year?
Well, it almost seems like it's counterproductive to put more money into a stock market that's going down. I mean, if you're putting the same amount in and it's worth less, then all of that money is now worth even less than it was beforehand. Yeah. So, you know, the value of the companies are gone, and the value of the money is gone, and therefore, you know, I just can't understand, though, our whole retirement system in this country is based on putting money into the stock market.
Well, you know, there's a very interesting report. It's called the Congressional Oversight Panel on Economic Stabilization. It was actually formed by Congress to find out what Henry Paulson did with all that money they gave him, $700 billion. And, of course, he spent the first $350 billion. And, of course, if you read the report, the first report, and you can pull it down off the Internet, it's really fascinating as they analyze what has happened and how the whole economy is collapsing. But they commented that, you know, the basic what's happened is so many people have not only lost money in the stock market themselves, but their pension funds have lost money. And many of the people are wondering what's going to happen. Will they be able to retire? Or are they going to have to work until they die? That is how the report opens up. It's well worthwhile reading. In fact, it's going to be covered in my January newsletter. We're just going to take that government report, which every American should read to understand what's going on. Of course, they're not going to tell you the whole story, but they're going to tell you enough of it to make it very interesting because, of course, they were appointed to find out how the government is spending the money, not only the TARP funds, but another $2 trillion, that's trillion dollars, that has been spent. And nobody will tell Congress because, of course, Congress is really simply there as a figurehead for the invisible government. They're there to make the American people think that we have a representative government, whereas we really have an elite government, a financial elite who controls this nation and makes mockery of the democratic process. Melody, do you have any other thoughts for Mike?
Yeah, I agree with Mike. His retirement was set up as a conditioning of the people. The 401s is not the way to prepare for retirement, but the carrot was waved in front of the people believing that was their only way in which to prepare for retirement, and therefore it was the way to strip them of their wealth, and that is exactly what is happening. And you have to remember a lot of these 401s, they also probably invested in a lot of the overseas markets. We've seen what's happened to these overseas markets. It's been brutal. All their money has been, and you look to these derivatives and this housing market, so a lot of
people... You say to somebody who's already lost, say, 40-50% of their retirement, which was in these 401k plans, it's hard for them to even get the concept of it could disappear entirely. I mean, they've obviously watched it disappear in half, but they're like, well, you know, at this point I don't have enough to survive on into my late retirement age. So what should they say to do? I mean,
well, that's why they should be listening to Radio Liberty. They should be listening to what Melody says.
Yeah, they're listening to Fox News, so it's a hard one to break.
Well, then you gotta talk them out of listening to Fox News. You've got to tell them the Fox News is controlled. It's a product of Rupert the Red Murdoch, who of course is one of the elitists who rules our country. He's not even American. He's a naturalized citizen. It's time that people started listening to alternative radio programs such as ours and Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and the others and get the information that you're not going to get because the media is controlled. And if you can once get people to understand the media is controlled, the reality is controlled, maybe, just maybe they'll start thinking. That's all you can do for them. You can lead a horse to water, but you sure can't make him drink.
Well, what if I could make him see the light, but then, Well, what would you do? I mean, would you take your money out and buy...
I would take my money out of the stock market so fast. Now, remember, I can't give you financial advice.
I would just tell
you what I believe. I believe the stock market right now is a trap, and they sure are going to go into gold and silver stocks, and why I think you should not be in the stock market. I think you ought to be in tangible assets. And, of course, you should have started doing something several years ago, as we've been pleading with people.
Well, I don't have any money, so that's never an option for me.
Well, but you need to make your preparation. You need at least to put aside money to get some food on hand, water purification, maybe some cans of seeds in a can, new product we're going to be carrying.
I got a garden. I got the whole thing going.
Good for you, and God bless. Thanks very much for being with it.
All right.
And our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 1-464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I understand Mike's frustration. I mean, what do you say to these people who've lost half of everything they have, and they still don't have any clue to what's going on? In fact, a lot of them are just waiting for the stock market to come back again, and so they're just going to hang in there. You know, I'm in for the long run. What do you tell those people, Melody?
You know, the people have been set up for their retirements. They were set up to believe that this was their way for retirement. These 401s, many times you can't even get to your funds. Your choices are limited. You can't get to them. And once your funds are in there, it's very difficult to pull them out. But so sometimes you can roll a portion over into an IRA. If you can roll it over into a self-directed IRA, you can put some gold and silver in there. Is that the best thing? Probably not. The best thing is to get as much as you can. What people don't understand is you can pull your funds out and keep it and preserve it. You can always go back in. But once it's lost, folks, it's lost. Very few people ever regain what they've lost. But yet they continue on with the hope that the market will come back. They've been conditioned time and time again to believe that it's a long-term investment. 15 years from now, they'll be back. Well, most of the retirees, they don't have 15 years because they're the baby boomers that are retiring. And I guess if you're in your 20s or early 30s, maybe you do have a chance to recoup something on what you've lost. But you haven't lost a lifetime of savings into a 401 in your 20s and 30s like many people in their 50s and 60s and 70s have. So the best thing you can do is find out about your 401. Get involved in it. Get the details of it. Find out exactly what your options are. I can't tell you how many times people talk to me and they don't have a clue. They don't have it. They don't know who to call. They don't know who to, what questions to ask. They know nothing about their 401. So the best thing you can do is find out about it.
Well, you know, I've had a friend of mine tell me the other day that she called the people who controlled her 401k, wanted to just put it into an IRA. They said she couldn't do it. Do you have that option to go into an IRA if you want to? I mean, most people believe whatever they're told by the people there, but of course the people who control that money in the 401k don't want to let it out because they get a percentage on it.
You're absolutely correct. But some of those 401s, no, you can't. But you can take loans on them. So if you can take a loan on them and roll it over into self-directed IRA, or take those funds and buy gold with it, preserve some of what you have. That's why it's important to find out about you. What are your options? And I agree, I don't believe they tell you the truth. So you have to, there's a right way of asking and a wrong way of
asking. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Melody. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And before I go on, Melody, I want you to get out your web page and your telephone number.
Our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That is 1-800-375-4188. And our website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
Well, during the break, we were talking about what do you do as far as you've got a 401k, you talk to the people in the there, and you say you want to roll it over into an IRA, and they say, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that. Well, they've got a vested interest to keep their hands on it, and maybe it's gone down 30 or 40%. They're going to tell you, you can't get your money out. We know far better than you do how to manipulate this money. And, of course, if they were so smart, of course, it wouldn't have lost so much. But what are the ways you ask the questions? What questions do you ask about your IRA? About your 401k, how should people approach trying to find out what they can do with it?
Well, I think that's the thing that they need to do is just find out about what their choices are, what their options are, without making that broker feel that you're looking to pull your funds and that you're looking for something else. Find out about it. Do your research on it. What are your options? Can you loan money on it? And I believe they did eliminate made the hardship loan a little bit easier to obtain with this housing market. I'm not sure if it passed or if they're talking about it, but I think it did. So you might have access. Find out how much access they have. And just inquire about what is going on, then you can make decisions on what you want to do to it. And, you know, ask them, you know, can some of your 401s be rolled over to an IRA? Or can you even just have it in cash, and what to do with the cash? And so there's things that you can ask, and but I wouldn't tell them that you're looking to pull it out. You know, you just want to stay the conservative way of investing. And because if you can't pull anything out, then you do want to take the most conservative way that or the most conservative investment that they have. Because a lot of these 401s, you're in very high risk. The majority of it will be in high-risk investments. You'll have a little bit in the medium and just a very few in the lower risk. So because they want your portfolios to perform, but, of course, that's how you lose the most also. So find out about it. Educate yourself on it. But the rules are strict in the 401s. And if you don't have access to anything, find out about a loan, and then maybe you can go into a self-directed IRA or just take possession of your gold and silver coins.
Well, now, what does, if you're over 65, what is the penalty for pulling your money out or pulling part of your money out? Do you just pay the income tax on it or what?
Well, on the 401s, I'm not sure. I believe they're all different, and they have different, as far as their age requirements, I don't know. On the IRAs, on the IRAs, you can begin to take distribution. If you have a gold and silver IRA, you can take distribution at 59 and a half to where the penalties are eliminated. And usually in the IRA, the penalty runs about 10%, I believe. But still, if you look at, to, you know, 10%, it's better than, you know, taking the hit of the 10% along with your taxes. It's better than losing 70% of it.
Okay, so the thing is that, of course, most of stock portfolios are down 40% at last year. And the idea is, well, you know, it's going to come back up again, you know. It's just a matter of time. But remember, first of all, number one, the stock market is manipulated by something known as the Working Group on Financial Markets. That's the Working Group on Financial Markets, also known as the Plunge Protection Team. They manipulate the stock market. You do not have an honest stock market. You do not have honest commodity prices. You don't have honest oil prices. You don't have honest gold and silver prices, because the people with vast wealth are able to manipulate the markets. And, of course, the Commodity Trading Board does not intervene, because they're working hand in glove with these people of great wealth. So they manipulate the markets. And, of course, when the market goes up, we feel good. The market goes down, we feel bad. They manipulate our emotions. But, of course, there is has to be some basis for the prices. The prices were really totally inflated because, of course, there was very little relationship between the price and the earnings of the stocks. Now, of course, as the earnings of many of these corporations are tumbling, and certainly we've seen our financial institutions, corporations like, say, Citicorp go from $80 a share, Citigroup, down to, you know, $4 a share. In fact, they even fell as low as $1 a share. They bounced up to $5, and I think they're about $4 a share. But General Motors has fallen dramatically. General Electric from the $35, $37 a share down to, what, about $8 a share, something like that. All of our major corporations have fallen, and I fear they're going to continue falling, because the real goal of the people who are in control is to impoverish the American people. When you understand that, so much of what's going on today really makes sense. The last thing they want is for you to be able to circumvent what they believe, what they want, and to be able to preserve your wealth. And so what Richard Russell said is so true. He who loses the least wins. He who loses the least wins. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, Melody, what are your people are calling you? I know you're talking to people all day long who are interested in gold and silver. Are there more people, do you think, that are getting interested and beginning to understand that the fiat money systems always collapse, or is it simply the same old people you've been talking to through the years?
Well, I've noticed an increase in calls from family members, from friends, referrals. So-and-so gave me your name. I don't have any gold and silver. I'm inquiring about it. There's been a lot of inquiries. They're sort of just dipping their toe in the water to test it. But I've had of a, I've noticed that to be the most significant as far as a difference in clientele. Of course, you always have the gold bugs and the people who understand what's going on. And of course, you know, with every dollar they have, they preserve it. They buy the insurance policy. And you're absolutely correct. And it's not about making money with buying gold and silver. It's preserving what you have. The big gains will come later on because you'll be the one that has the funds. You'll be able to preserve your wealth and take advantage of the investments that come along in the future when everything becomes balanced out. And things will become balanced out one way or another, whether it be land or whether it is, you know, is buying a, you know, GE down at $1 or whatever it might be. So, but the key thing is buying the gold and silver as the insurance policy. Forget about gains. You know, people buy silver for the big percentage gains that it can provide. The important part today, folks, is preserving what you have. Buying that insurance policy, just like your car insurance, your house insurance, and everyone has heard those stories before about the how gold maintains its value throughout the years. So that's what is important. And that is how you try to help people, your friends, your family, your neighbors, in preserving their wealth. And lots of times we scare people. We turn them off by, you know, becoming so overzealous and giving the information and perhaps starting out at, you know, well, perhaps you should just get a small amount of gold. Just preserve a little bit. Even Wall Street recommends a minimum of 10% of gold in your portfolio. So if Wall Street recommends 10%, 15%, well, perhaps those that don't believe or understand, maybe they're willing to at least start there, and then they can become educated a little bit further as time goes along.
Well, because I can remember when you could buy a British sovereign for $10, this gold, British gold sovereign, quarter of an ounce of gold. And today, of course, that British gold sovereign is worth probably about $200, and I think I heard them quoted at $250 the other day. That may be a little high. What does a British gold sovereign go for today, do you know?
They're running around $239.
All right,
$239.
Fine. All right, the quotation I got was a little high on that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-248. But you know, if you know, had you invested, you know, this was probably maybe 1964, 1965. Had you invested in gold at that time, it would have gone up about 25 times in value. Now, of course, the value of our currency has fallen dramatically during that period of time. The home that, of course, you bought it, you know, in those days for maybe for $40,000 is worth $500,000 or $400,000 today. But gold has actually done better than almost anything if you go back to the, you know, to the certainly the early 1960s. And, of course, if you remember that last year it hit just close to 1,000, and I think that it's going to be back up there before very long, don't you?
I think so, too. I mean, there's many economists, even mainstream Citibank and several others that are expecting gold to be 2,000 by the end of this year. And I'm a little more conservative on the price of gold. You know, I'd like to see it go through stages before I go out on the limb and say 2,000. But it's very possible, considering what we face this year. 2009 is going to be considerably worse than 2009, and also 2010. So we very well could see gold 2,000, but I'd like to see it get to 1250 first, and then we can go from there. So, but things are going to happen rapidly, and it's hard to believe that this month is almost over, and I think you'll see this through the rest of the year, and I believe there will be lots of surprises. Although we expect many things, I think that we're going to see new things happen that will surprise us.
Well, I'm sure they will. Of course, the thing is that the housing market is just beginning to crumble. They will tell you, well, the subprime mortgage defaults are almost over. You know, most of the subprime mortgages have defaulted, and of course, several, I don't know how many million people have lost their homes, but we do know that probably 10 million people have had at least one notice on foreclosure of their homes. There are about 50 million home mortgages out there, and one in five has had a foreclosure notice. They haven't all foreclosed yet. But next year, I should say this year, now the Alt-A loans, they're known as the liar's loans, the people who lie to get a mortgage. And then, of course, even more insidious, the pick-and-pay loans. There are 2 million of them out there. These are people who bought homes that they really couldn't afford by simply taking a mortgage where they only had to pay more part of the principal, or maybe just pay part of the interest, and then of course every month while the value of the home went up, as far as the mortgage was concerned, well, the value of the home went down. It was great when the values of the homes were going up because you were getting them very cheaply, but when the bubble burst and the price began to fall, why, of course, those pick-and-pay loans became just as toxic as the subprime loans. And this year is when the Alt-A, or liar's loans, and the pick-and-pay loans come due. Next year, of course, it'll probably be the prime loans. Why would prime loans fail? Because people would lose their jobs. And when they lose their jobs, they're not going to be able to make the payments on their homes, and those homes are going to go into foreclosure as well. And, of course, the government keeps saying, oh, we're going to intervene, we're going to do something. Henry Paulson promised Congress that he'd just give him $700 billion, he'd buy up the subprime mortgages, and then he refused to do it after he got the money. Why? Because they don't want a solution, ladies and gentlemen. They want this whole thing to come cascading down. When you understand that, when you understand that they're doing everything wrong, when they keep talking about if we just prime the pump, we get more money out there. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're at the bottom of the ocean, the last thing you need is to prime the pump. And we are at the bottom of the ocean. They're trying to prime the pump. There's all sorts of money out there. In fact, that's our problem. We have too much money in circulation, too much credit in circulation, and we're not going to solve the problem of too much money by adding more money to it. There's plenty of money. The banks just aren't lending it. People are hoarding the money. They're putting it into the bond market. One of these days, the bond market bubble is going to bust. And then, of course, the commercial bonds are going to go down. And then, of course, the derivative market is going to collapse. And, of course, as Warren Buffett said, derivatives are potential financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent, potentially lethal. And the lethal part comes probably in 2010 or 2011. Our telephone number is 1-888-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom of Discount Gold and Silver. We're talking about what's going on financially. And you're seeing the greatest transfer of wealth in our nation's history, transferring the wealth of the hardworking American people, you know, the baby boomers who've worked their whole life to accumulate enough money to retire, and that money is being transferred to the people of great wealth by one means or another, and the average individual has no idea what's happening. Where is all the money going? Well, a lot of it's going into the coffers of the very wealthy, and the Wall Street banks are given all sorts of money, but they were given it to loan to get the economy working. And, oh, shucks, Henry Paulson, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderbergers, the Secretary of the Treasury, who accumulated $800 million, almost $1 billion, when he was CEO of Goldman Sachs. He just wasn't smart enough to tell the banks that when he gave them all that $125 billion, they were supposed to lend it out to American companies to get our economy working. And what did they do? Why, Bank of America let $5 to $7 billion. It gave it to a Chinese bank to buy part of that. Citigroup gave $10 billion to a Spanish toll road company. How does that help America's industries get going, America's businesses? It doesn't, because they don't want to help America's businesses. These people are not stupid. but they think that we are and that we won't notice what they're doing. And now both Bank of America and Citigroup are demanding more money. They say, oh, we need more money. Well, if you need so much money, why did you invest it in China? Why did you invest it in Spain? Have you noticed nobody asked that, Melody?
Absolutely. And GM is no different. They're getting billions of dollars, and I'll guarantee a lot of those funds are going to their other factories located around the world. And so they're going to keep doing it as long as they're allowed to do it.
In fact, they've just opened a $300 million automobile manufacturing plant in Russia. They've opened either the fifth or their eighth automotive production plant in China. They're opening and building a $2 billion factory in Brazil. And now they're going to our government saying, you've got to give us money. We're going to go down. You're going to collapse the economy. All these Americans are going to be out of business if you don't give us the money. It's unconstitutional, ladies and gentlemen. We shouldn't give them the money. They've got enough money to build in Brazil. They've got enough money to build in China. They've got enough money to build in Russia. Why can't they use that money here in the United States? And the truth of the matter is, they don't want to. We'll be right back. Melody, you got 3 minutes to wrap up.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
GoldAndSilverTrading.net.
God bless. Thanks very
God
much.
Bless.
Good
Thank
night.
You, Dr. Stan.
Talk to you
Bye-bye.
Later. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Melody Cedarstrom. And again, of course, we are entering very, very difficult times. And, of course, behind everything that's going on are powerful spiritual forces. You need to understand what's happening financially, and that's why my talk on the financial tsunami, we gave it some years ago, but it's still apropos today. The financial tsunami, and then, of course, you need to get the syllabus that goes with that. The pamphlets we put together, the history of money, what you should know, and the financial meltdown, important. Certainly, our November newsletter is posted up on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. It shows you, or begins to show you, the techniques that have been used to create the financial crisis. And you're not going to find this. This has been carefully suppressed. The last thing they want the American people to realize is that they've done this intentionally. And then, of course, the December newsletter, we just finished it up today, and I think it'll be going to press tomorrow. And hopefully it'll be out, but hopefully it'll be posted up on the Internet in the very near future. So you go to RadioLiberty.com, get our November newsletter, December newsletter will be soon, and I'm just finishing up the January newsletter. You need to understand what's going on, and then you need to help us get the information out, because there are subversives who are working at the highest levels of our government. Why are they subversive? Why? Because they have sworn to uphold our Constitution, and their real goal is to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, the freedom of our people, and establish a one-world government, a one-world financial system, or as Henry Kissinger refers to it, the new economic order. If you get any of other issues and you'd like a copy of Henry Kissinger's article, we'd be glad to send it to you from the International Herald Tribune. Also, you need to understand the spiritual forces at work. That is a little pamphlet put out by the Luciferian organization, the Lucius Trust, with offices in New York, in London, and Geneva, Switzerland. It's called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, where they will tell you they have their people planted in the leading financial positions throughout the world. The document was dictated, it was channeled to a woman named Alice Bailey by a disembodied spirit named Joa Kuhl. The Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy, and we'll be glad to send you their pamphlet. They want to get it out. We'll be glad to help them. We want you to understand. We want you, of course, to get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will take you into who really runs the world. And then, of course, we want you to get our talk on the Forbidden Secret, because there is a secret that's been out there for 5,000 to 6,000 years. And, of course, it is exemplified by the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid kept by triangle that contains the all-seeing eye. That is the eye of Osiris. That is the eye of Horus. That is the eye of the great architect of the universe, and his name is Lucifer. And understand that what we are seeing is a resurgence of the Gnostic belief that there are two gods. One is the God of the Bible, and the other is the true God, who is Lucifer. And, of course, I don't believe that for one minute. But you need to understand that behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces, which is one reason you need to get Pastor Billy Crone's excellent series, The Final Countdown. Part 1, Part 2, each one contains 5 DVDs, almost an hour sermon. But some wonderful clips, of course, gives you all the Bible scriptures that you need. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our radio programs there on the Internet 9 hours a day if you want to, 4 hours live. That's RadioLiberty.com. Please tell your friends. Get other people listening. The best thing they can do is understand what's going on and understand the spiritual battle that's taking place today. And then please pray for America revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, please.